here at the Miracle Marathon. I want to say this again. I cannot stress this enough, and I think you will understand. In this interview we're about to do, we're going to talk about Children's Wisconsin's response to the tragic events that took place at the Waukesha Christmas Parade. Children supported families both in the hospital and in our community the day of and many days after. We want to acknowledge that for some of our listeners, the content we're about to talk about might trigger some difficult memories or feelings. We encourage you to care for your well-being and understand that some of you may choose to turn the volume down, and that's a-okay. We just want to make sure that you are aware of the topic of discussion. Having said that, we want to welcome Nancy Corum, Chief Nursing Officer, Vice President, Children's Wisconsin, and Cheryl Brosig-Soto, Professor and Chief Pediatric Psychology and Developmental Medicine here at Children's Wisconsin. Ladies, thank you very much for the time. We really appreciate it.
It's so fun. The energy that you get going here within our walls and outside our walls is so amazing.
Well, thank you. So, we appreciate that.
And I think the families that come here, you know, you just are getting to meet some amazing families and kids.
You know what we noticed
that
too?
I know that deserve.
little tangent, but here's what we noticed. They're so comfortable, the families are here. And it truly is like they're not making this up. This is like being with their family.
Yep.
They feel so relaxed. We get to see them like in a different environment relative to if they came to the station, like the radio station.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a little
yeah.
bit more nerves in that. But here, they're totally comfortable. They're here with everyone they know, all the caregivers they know. And so we do see a different side, and maybe they're a little more open. I think it's fantastic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So level one, let's get to that.
All right. Let's talk about what happened. I'll talk about what is a level one trauma center here in a moment. You know, our community is so supportive of Children's, and what you guys do through the Miracle Marathon is amazing. And that day and the days that followed really just demonstrate how we put some of that support to use, because there's so much that we do here for wraparound services for the patients and families that we serve that is really, we have the ability to do that because of the generosity of our community. So that day was a Sunday. It was the Christmas parade. You know, we thought we were kind of coming out of the pandemic. People were getting together, gathering. Sunday here at the hospital is not as busy as weekdays. We don't have all of our scheduled surgeries. We don't have all the outpatients coming and going.
Right.
So we have exactly what we need to care for the patients that are here in our walls based on their acuity and all the other resources that go with that. So we do have systems in place, being a level one trauma center, so that we can activate when horrific things like this happen, and it was horrific. That night, an afternoon into the evening, we received 18 children, ages, I think they were 3 to 16. So many of them required services that were extreme and complex. They came in through our emergency department. Some required surgery. Many required intensive care. Many required imaging and all of the services that you make sure that you're giving the best and safest care to these children. So that night, all of our disciplines, I can name so many, they all came, you know, out of the woodwork. We got notified, some of us, just because people were hearing what was going on. We had a lot of our employees who happened to be at that parade and started calling, hey, this is going on, we're going to need to get prepared. And then we activated our normal systems to call in other disciplines. So everybody stepped forward in the moment at that day. I want to shout out, because it happened in Waukesha, and here we are in Wauwatosa. So we are so grateful to the community and the first responders that responded out in the Waukesha area and the area hospitals that may have received some of these patients first before they were transferred here. I think if you had to recreate that day, it would be just an amazing diagram of all of the people who really responded to try to do what was best for those people who were injured and just the chaos that happened that day. So I just want to say thanks to the first responders, because that's how these children got here. So let's talk about what it means to be a level one trauma center. So we are prepared. As I mentioned, it was a Sunday. All these people weren't here. We called people in, and our staff responded, our providers, everybody that was needed to be here. So a level one trauma center is a designation. We have a lot of very strict criteria that we need to meet. It's given by the American College of Surgeons. So it's a standard, and we get reviewed on a regular regular basis to make sure we're meeting those standards. It is full-time, 24/7. We are always ready in the event that a trauma is going to come here, or a mass casualty is what I'm going to call this.
Okay.
So it's availability of trauma surgeons, any medical specialists, and all of the subspecialists that go with that. So our facility is designed, you know, we have our emergency department trauma center. That's what we call our emergency department. And the operating rooms, and those operating rooms that are actually dedicated for trauma. They're set up, ready to go. All the people on call. We have full-time neurosurgeons, full-time orthopedic surgeons, specially trained trauma nurses, anesthesia services, our intensive care unit I mentioned, rehab services, CAT scan, you know, all the imaging. Everything
right.
is here ready 24/7. And that's exactly what happened that night.
Okay, so you said 18 children, and many of them needed surgery. Each one of those surgeries, so complex, needs an entire, I mean, you need a bunch of people to make that happen.
Correct.
Right? And so how what was the response? Like, how did that happen? How were you able to accomplish that goal?
Yeah, like I said, I think word got out very quickly. So people just started, they got in their cars. The stories are really amazing. I was eating dinner with my family. I said, I just have to go, not even having received the call yet.
Sure.
And then we did implement our mass casualty call list. So
So those folks all came in.
Yes.
They were all here ready to go.
Plus. Yeah. So I think, you know, so like you said, Dave, to set up our ORs to have all of those people that it takes to do just one surgery.
Right.
You know, times.
And then multiply that by how many kids were here.
Correct.
That's the most amazing thing to me, is to think about how do you get a dozen surgery teams together and do it now.
Like, do you even have a dozen anesthesiologists?
You know what I mean?
We actually do. And I did come in that night, and I just, wow. The people that were here and the willingness to be waiting for when you need me, I am right here.
Cheryl, let's talk about how this affected mental health, not just for those who were at the parade, but friends, family, relatives. It extended all the way out into the community.
And they're friends of, they're all children. Yeah. They all have schools and all the kids that go to schools and their friends.
I think, you know, here at Children's, we believe that mental health is health. And so just as Nancy talked about the teams that were getting ready to take care of the physical injuries of these kids, and the mental health team was getting ready to take care of the emotional impact that the kids, their families, and the community was dealing with. So I remember I was at home, had the TV on, saw the what was going on, got a call from the VP of Mental and Behavioral Health, and we just started putting our mental and behavioral health team into place. So called into the command center here to see who from our team was needed. We already had mental and behavioral health providers within the emergency department. And so each family was assigned a social worker that followed that child. One of the big challenges was, you know, the kids came in different ways and were separated from their parents. And so you had kids coming without necessarily parents, and then parents showing up. And so that was a big piece of it, is reuniting kids with parents as soon as possible, or at least connecting with the families to let them know where their children were. And ironically, where the reunification took place was in our new, the lobby of our Yabuki Tower, which is fittingly, you know, named after to show our support and dedication to mental and behavioral health services. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to wrap around these patients and their families to provide the mental health care and the support that they needed because of the emotional aspects of trauma.
Do you think that on top of just the Waukesha Parade tragedy, the pandemic, do you think that it's, most of us do, how it's negatively affected not just adults, but especially kids?
Yeah. For sure. We have seen increased kids coming to our emergency department for mental and behavioral health reasons. We have seen an increase of volumes of the referrals for patients and families seeking mental health services. So one of the things that we're really trying to do is expand our team and develop some new innovative training programs so that we can grow our own and build our workforce. I was so proud of the teamwork. We had a plan. So normally we have a psychologist and a psychiatrist that are on call each day, and that person is in charge of whatever consults come in. Well, we knew there were going to be 18 kids waiting, plus we had additional trauma consults that weren't related to the parade.
Right.
And so we knew that these kids were going to be waiting. And so we had our team working Sunday night. We checked in with the command center. They didn't need us to come in that night, but we were ready. And Monday morning, the team hit the ground running, was collaborating with the physicians in the PIC, in the intensive care unit to, and it was kind of like divide and conquer. We had members of our team who normally don't even cover the inpatient unit, but they said, you know, I have an hour free in my outpatient clinic schedule. I'm happy to come in and help and see one of the inpatient families. We coordinated with our mental health colleagues over at Frater because some parents were actually admitted there, and so there was seamless care. Followed them throughout the hospitalization, and then in addition to the frontline providers. Some of us from the leadership team realized this is not just going to affect these kids and families in our walls. This is affecting our entire community. And so we knew we needed to provide something to the community at large. And so we got together and said, we need to set up a mental health hotline. And we didn't really know how to do that. We brought in our, you know, marketing and communication team and our telecommunications team, and they helped us get a number. And then we had volunteers come in and staff the line. We fielded over 100 calls from the community. And it wasn't just about kids, it was adults. Mm-hmm. It were people who were there. It was schools, coaches reaching out to say, how do I talk to kids about this? I'm an adult and I need help myself. Where do I go? So we helped, connect people with resources. There were some kids who really needed urgent mental health services. And again, we had providers who made room in their schedules to take some of these urgent kids. I think we had nearly 15 families that we served that way. And then we answered the phone until people weren't calling anymore. So I'm so proud of the response and the seamless integration between the physical and emotional care that we provided. And that's, I think, another reason that makes children special.
Mm-hmm. Are they continuing with further care? This is something that will affect them forever.
Yes, I think, it all varies depending on the child and the family, but I think certain things will probably always likely bring up triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And so some have had more challenging emotional responses than others. And so we try to provide, once they leave our hospital, connections so that they get the emotional support that they need. And I think one of the things to highlight is we're really trained here. We're trained to work with kids. Kids are not little adults. And Nancy had mentioned we had kids that came ranging from age 3 to 16. So how you talk to a 3-year-old about what happened is very different than what you're going to say to a 16-year-old. And how they communicate to you is going to be very different. I don't know, you had a funny story if you want to share that about the little one that just kind of talked very
here's what happened. The nurse came in and she said, did you know what? I got hit by a car at a parade.
Oh,
and,
God.
You know, and her poor mother is just, oh, my gosh, that's the worst thing ever. But, you know, the perception of children, I think Dr. Brosig, her team has been extraordinary for, all of the people that needed her team. The internal support, I will say as well, for all of us. We have something called critical incident stress management.
Oh, my God. You know what? I never thought of that until you just said that. Like, of course,
Yeah.
That's, wow. You, of all people, you all would need it.
Yeah. And so a lot of that happened, brief debriefs that evening, and then in the days and weeks ahead.
Yeah.
And probably still to this day.
No kidding.
So we really take it seriously that we need to take care of our mental health as well after things like this. One other thing, you know, you talked about some of the resources. The thing that happened that night is our child life specialist came in. They're not always on call for mass casualties, but every child that came in had a child life specialist as well that does know how to talk to a child about these things and keep them comfortable and in that reunification with their parents to make it a smooth, you know, a smooth transaction. So it's just really... Cheryl said, I'm proud. I am so proud as well. I think we all walked away thinking, wow, we don't ever want to have to do that again.
Yeah.
The word horrific just rings true to so many of us. Yet the fact that we did, and that's what we're here for.
Think of, I mean, I'm not into hypotheticals, but think of this. If there was no Children's here, who would have responded and how would that have gone?
Right.
Just think about that for a second. And that's when you thank God there is Children's, because there are, I dare say, maybe over a dozen kids out there living their life, hopefully will live productive lives, who may not have even made it if it wasn't for a place like this. So it's all about perspective. It's all about realizing that while you don't ever want to be here, it's the absolute best place to be when you have a situation that requires this kind of care. And the care keeps getting better because of your donations. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. I've witnessed it in the last 24 years. This is the 24th year we're doing this. Please continue to make a difference by calling 414-337-9554. Thank you so much, both of you, for sharing those stories. We appreciate it. We're at the hospital. We're Children's Wisconsin. It's the Miracle Marathon. This is KLH.